we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. We trust that you are having a marvelous day and a glorious week. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio program on WMIE 91.5 FM. We want to thank you for tuning in today. I do want to invite you out to our services this Sunday morning. I will be preaching the last message in our back-to-school series, and you really don't want to miss this one. This is a message that will benefit the entire body of Christ, young, old, male, female, it doesn't matter, new believer, old believer, been part of the kingdom for a long, long time. This is a message that you're going to want to be a part of, and so we want to invite you out to that. That will be Sunday morning, 10:30. At Merritt Assembly of God. And then we've got beginning September the 10th, I believe is the date. I could be wrong on that. Let me see. Actually, yeah, September the 10th, I will be starting a series on that day titled Pursuing Greatness. Pursuing Greatness. And we're going to be talking about that from a biblical perspective, not from a worldly perspective. And I can't tell you exactly how many weeks that's going to go, but I want to invite you to come be a part of that, because you were meant to be a person of influence in this community, and God wants to do great things on your behalf. So we're looking for biblical greatness, and we want to be pursuing that. So right now we are studying out of Galatians chapter 5. I won't go back and read that whole passage for you, but we are talking about walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, our spirit warring against the carnal nature, as well as the Spirit of God producing the fruit of the Spirit inside of us. And the fruit that we are currently discussing is the third item mentioned in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And as I was working through this. Now, I will tell you this, we're not going to spend as much time on every fruit as we have on love and then on joy and now on peace. We're not going to spend that much time on every one of these fruit, but these first three are very, very important. And with that being said, I was thinking today before I came in here, I wonder if people are going to get bored with this concept of peace, of wholeness in every area of our life, emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, financially, occupationally, both in the present and in the future. You see, I believe that God wants us to walk in the shalom of God, the peace of God, in such a way that we don't get bored with it, that we see that it is a desirable character issue and commodity in our life. It is something that should be produced in the body of Christ. But yet the enemy comes in and wants to sow seeds of strife and discord, disharmony, selfishness in your life, and get people to where they are discontent, malcontent, and he tries to keep disruption in the body of Christ, because when there is the spirit of unity and there's peace in God's house, there is the commanded blessing, even life forevermore. The devil has no alternative for God's peace that is desirable. God's peace is something that you and I should strive to achieve, seek to achieve, long for, and we will see that, and I did not misstate that. It is something to be pursued. Today I want to take you to Psalm chapter 4, the fourth psalm, and I'm going to read this. It's only eight verses, and then we will begin to get into our discussion today of peace. It says in verse number 1, this is a Psalm of David, by the way, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, 'Who will show us any good?' Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." With that being said, there are several key elements for us to experience the promised provision of peace in verse number 8, that when we lie down at night, we will have peace within us so that we can sleep. It is a divine provision. And so I'm going to touch on some things today, specifically in verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, and verse 8, because I do not want to live, I do not want to live underneath the level of provision, divine provision, that God has for me. I want to walk in the fullness of my inheritance. I want to walk in favor with God. I want his face to shine, his presence to abide in our lives. That's what I'm looking for. So verse number 4 begins to tell us how we can set the stage, if you will, if we can begin to prepare ourselves for this nighttime nocturnal peace that God wants for us that would enable us to sleep. And the first thing it says is in verse number 4 is be angry and sin, and do not sin. Okay? So there can be things that will arise in your life that can provoke a righteous indignation in your life, but the problem with anger is that it cannot accomplish the purposes of God, but the manifestation of that anger can lead us to sin in such a way that we end up producing a wall or a barrier between us and other people. It can produce in us something that will disqualify us from the peace. You see, because whenever there is an issue between people, then that peace is challenged. It is under attack. So we need to remember to make sure that whenever we are acting, we are doing so in the best interest of those people that we were dealing with. The Bible talks about Jesus cleansing the temple from with righteous indignation. Now, if you were one of those vendors, it would be very disruptive to you. But those vendors had operated under a paradigm, if you will, that was depriving the people of the holy atmosphere that God had intended for the house of God to be. They were coming and they were being taken advantage of, because where there is need, there will also be exploitation. And so these people were selling these sacrificial animals. Now, it was provided for in the scriptures, but they were doing so in such a manner that they were taking advantage of these people who had come to Jerusalem on these pilgrimages so that they could honor God. It's kind of like the hotel room rates that you might have. If there's a special event, you're not going to get the discounted rate that you would on an ordinarily normal event. They're going to raise the price. I forget how much I heard some hotels were charging along the route of the eclipse last week, or earlier this week. So there's a lot of exploitation that goes on. So be angry and do not sin. Okay, the way that you do that is you take the person out of it. You don't make the attack personal. You deal with the issue. You deal with the issue at hand. You don't keep dredging up the past. You deal with that issue right then and there. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. And so this is not like Eastern meditation. There are a lot of people who get really kind of antsy if you start talking about meditating on the Word of God. Eastern meditation asks you to empty yourself of everything that you have going on, to empty yourself of your thoughts, of your feelings, of your emotions, and all of this sort of stuff. And whenever you create a vacuum, something is going to fill that vacuum. This is talking exactly the opposite about that. It is, we are instructed in God's Word to meditate on His Word. So we are not emptying ourselves, we are filling ourselves up. We are filling our thought lives with the Word of God. Now, if you create a vacuum, something is going to fill it, and the devil will be more than glad to fill that vacancy and that void in your life. You and I, when we give everything that we have to Jesus, we also need to be asking Him to fill us up with godly things and push all of those ungodly things out of our life. Okay? There should be a desire for righteousness. So if you want peace at night, the first thing that you need to start doing is you need to make sure that there are no anger issues going on. You need to meditate on the Word of God, and you need to position yourself for rest. It says, be still. Now, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. So that's where we are positioning ourselves. We're saying, you know what, God? I'm not going to try and deal with this on my own. I am going to trust that you, as my Heavenly Father, are able to deal with this. Verse number 5 is the next point. It says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. If we do not trust God, we are not going to have peace. Okay? Some people trust in horses, some in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. We have to put our confidence in Him. We need to trust Him, that Him working in righteousness is going to produce greater benefits to the kingdom and to ourselves than trying to deal with matters in our own perspective, in our own strength, in our own hurt, in our own pain, with our own limitations. We need to have an unlimited God operating on our behalf with divine wisdom and divine strength. So put your trust in God. Now drop down to verse number 7. Remember, verse 4 said, be angry and do not sin. Verse number 7 says, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. That sounds like a pretty good exchange to me. That sounds like a transaction that is well worth the cost. Where God says, I am going to take away your anger, those things that disrupt the divine provision of peace that I have for you. I'm going to purge those things from your life as you meditate upon my word, as you still yourself, as you trust me, as you sacrifice in righteousness. He says, I am going to put gladness in your heart. Now, what if you showed up to work today and you were just bubbly, vivacious, filled with joy? We've already talked about joy. What would happen at that workplace if you suddenly showed up filled with the joy of the Lord? It would be noticed by everyone around. People would say, I wonder what happened to them. I wonder what is going on in their life. They don't normally act like this. Well, what if you showed up to church like that? Instead of showing up with your arms crossed and saying, I wonder if there's going to be anything exciting that happens today. I wonder if they're going to sing any songs that I like. I doubt it, but they're I wonder if they will, if they'll sing one of my songs instead of the songs that I don't like. What would happen if we showed up and say, man, I am just so thankful for the Word of God and for what God is going to do in my life. I wonder what would happen if we showed up with that sort of gladness in our heart. Well, with that being said, I want to ask you, what do you suppose would happen to your body, to your emotions, to your sleep patterns, if instead of putting your head on the pillow at night, filled with all sorts of doubt and uncertainty and anger and unresolved issues, that if God filled our heart with gladness and we just started pondering how blessed and how marvelous we are, or how marvelous God has treated us. I believe that God wants us, I believe that it is His desire to put gladness in your heart and gladness in my heart, because it reaps benefits. Stress produces bad things in the body. I know a person who was almost destroyed by the death of a loved one. This person loved God, and this person just loved that person so much that they suffered what's known as broken heart syndrome. It's a real thing. You can look it up. The doctor said this woman just loved her mother-in-law so much that when she was promoted to glory, this lady almost went at the same time. There can be an attachment there that whenever we experience great pain, that it causes physiological consequences to us. I'm not saying don't love your mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. I really do. But what I'm saying is, God has gladness and joy in our lives. He wants to put that in our heart, because that will also produce healthy benefits for us. A merry heart does good like a medicine. It's you and I, we need to be therapeutic ambassadors for God at our workplace. So it says that the gladness that God will put in your heart will produce more than an abundant harvest of whatever field of work you are in. It'll have greater benefit to you than partaking and feasting on your favorite food. It is going to be of great benefit. And so the psalmist here, David, says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You know, a lot of times when we hear about things that we're made to do, oh, when I was young, my parents made me brush my teeth. Thank God. I hope you still do it. When I was young, my parents made me eat broccoli. Okay, it's not the worst thing in the world. I happen to like broccoli. Most of my kids like broccoli. One of them not real fond of it, but well, I don't go to church as an adult because my parents made me go to church when I was a kid. You know, there were a lot of things my parents made me do. And we tend to think of that in the negative, but I want you to see what the psalmist David does here. He says, you will make me dwell in safety. What a great compulsion. What a great act of God. It says, you know what? Those things that are disturbing you, I don't want them to take root in your heart and lead you down to a path of sin that is going to steal your peace from you. I want you to fill yourself up with the Word of God. Hide my word in your heart that you might not sin against me. The result is going to be peace, and I'm going to make you dwell in safety. I want you to trust me, because if you're trying to focus on your strength, it's going to rob you of your peace. But if you will trust me, I am going to provide peace and safety that is going to bless you with rejuvenation and strength in your body that others would only long for. I am going to put gladness in your heart instead of sadness, instead of distress, instead of discouragement, or instead of depression. I'm going to put gladness in your heart, and I am going to make you more glad than any tangible thing in this life can provide for you. That's what God wants to do for you. He wants to give you that peace to such an extent that you will be able to sleep in peace. And he says, I'm going to make you live in an environment of safety. I don't know. Sounds like a pretty good place to live to me. David didn't live in a bubble. It didn't mean that he wasn't without challenges in his life, but he knew what it was like for God to say, I am going to surround you with my presence and my provision to such an extent. I'm going to work on you inside and out. I'm going to work on you in every aspect of your being, and you are not going to be robbed of your peace. It is going to be a lifestyle for you. I want to take you over to Psalm 28 today as well for the last few minutes of the program. Psalm 28, and I want to read verses number 1 through, let's read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll get into a little narrower focus. To you I will cry, O Lord my God. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength. He is their saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. So verse number 3 talks about peace, or talks about people that have a disconnect inside of their own personal being where it comes to their speech and their actions. It says that David recognized that there was going to come a time when those who were wicked, when they were practitioners of iniquity, that they were going to be dealt with in a manner differently than the blessed of the Lord. And he said, do not confuse me, do not bundle me with those who are working iniquity, who, listen to this, who speak peace to their neighbors. There was peace on their lips, but there was evil in their hearts. Okay? Who are speaking peace to their neighbors, but they were but they had evil living in their hearts. There's a disconnect there. And so I have this word written down for you and I to consider, and that is that we need to have the gift of discernment. It is one of the gifts of the Spirit, where we discern when there is a disconnect, where there is a problem between people who are saying one thing, but in their heart they are devising another thing. And if you give people enough time, they will reveal with their tongue what is actually residing in their heart. Now listen, As Christians, we want to believe everybody. We want to take them at their word. We want to trust politicians that what they say that is actually what they're going to do. And I just want to challenge you, you know, you need to put your trust in God. That's what I will say about that. We want to believe everybody. And so we end up getting taken advantage of on a regular basis. It is not a strange thing for people to come to a church, fabricate a tale so that they will play up on our sympathies and our desire to represent God well, and so they can get their temporary need met, but in reality, they have no desire in their heart to become attached. And I believe that God does want us to speak peace with our mouth. But I believe he also wants us to have peace in our heart. Okay? And so if you have to surround yourself and limit some of the conversations you have with some people because there's a disconnect there, don't neglect that. I will tell you that there are very few steps of faith that I have taken that I have ever regretted. In fact, none of the steps of faith that I have taken do I regret. I don't regret any one of them. I followed God's leading all from Oklahoma to Illinois, back to Oklahoma, to Texas, to Florida, and now to Merritt Island in Florida. And I don't regret any of those because each one of those steps we took with wholehearted obedience. But I can tell you, after nearly 25 years of being a senior pastor, that I have missed some warning signs from God. As I was driving to church on Monday of this week, I saw a person, and they ran a red light, and it wasn't close. It was like red for a block, and they just said, you know what, there's no camera at this light, and I'm just going to go on through it. They got to the next light, and you know what? They had to stop there, and I caught up. You don't want to run through red lights when the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't become entangled with the affairs of men. Don't become entangled. Don't be deceived by the flattering lips of a person whose heart is not right with God. You know what? Spiritual people do not lie awake on their bed at night devising evil plans. What they do lay on their bed at night doing is filling themselves up on the Word of God and enjoying the joy and the peace that He provides so that they can sleep and sleep well and sleep in peace and safety so they can wake up and be a blessing to those they come in contact with. May God make you an agent of peace tomorrow by giving you peace and safety tonight. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.